Well, turning now to a fish that always seems to get a bit of a bad rap, sharks. They've long been painted as the bad guy, the villainous monster, preying on the vulnerable mankind. Millions upon millions of dollars have been made around the world from blockbusters, which basically villainize these animals. Now, sure, most people wouldn't want to encounter a great white whilst out for a morning swim at the beach, but at the end of the day, it is their home, right? So despite the fear the name shark often instills in people, we've got to remember they are essential apex predators in the ocean's ecosystems, and without them, the sensitive and already quite massively threatened ocean life would eventually be decimated completely. Now, a documentary set to be released on July 21st, refreshingly, depicts these magnificent creatures, not as villainous hunters, but rather shows them for what they are now in present-day waters, the hunted. Envoy, Shark Cull, blows the cover of the biggest marine cull in history that our government has completely kept under wraps. It's been happening right under our noses off the shores of Queensland and New South Wales. Joining us now from Lombok in Indonesia to talk about this film is renowned pro-shark ocean activist and documentarian Madison Stewart. She's better known by her Instagram moniker, Shark Girl Madison. Thanks so much for joining us on The Daily this morning, Madison.
Oh, no worries at all. Thank you for having me.
So Envoy has set out to shed light on the real story behind coastal shark safety programs in both Queensland and New South Wales. Now, those methods include baited drum lines as well as nets. One of the quotes that I really love from the documentary, because I think it gives an entirely different perspective to the way in which we usually look at sharks, is one which describes them as basically the doctors of the reef who keep our whole ecosystem in check. You know, we know that fear is often associated with the idea of sharks, and a lot of people believe that these measures make beaches so-called shark-proof, but the film actually says otherwise. What's your opinion on these methods?
I grew up on the Gold Coast in Australia, but unlike a lot of the other people that I grew up with, I had a really solid understanding and experience in the water with sharks. So I've witnessed that fear Australians have, that like basic fear that we all have of sharks and getting in the water. And it's so prevalent in our society, isn't it? Which is crazy. And the best way to describe sharks, as you mentioned, as not just as the doctors, but truly as the underdogs. They are the heroes of the ecosystem that often get painted as the villains. So despite being so important, we just kind of hate them and want to get rid of them. And the documentary Envoy Shark Cull is just an incredible insight into just how far that fear that we have of sharks has allowed really horrific things to happen to them right offshore of our beaches. That fear has been incredibly damaging in so many different ways, and it's quite an interesting display of that in this film.
Can I ask, what started your great love for sharks?
Well, I spent the first few years of my life on a sailboat on the Great Barrier Reef, so yeah. No doubt started there. I had pretty eccentric parents that wanted me to explore, scuba dive, get in the ocean. And then for the rest of my childhood, grew up on the Gold Coast. My dad was an avid scuba diver and explorer, so we spent a lot of time in the water. I truly grew up with more experiences next to sharks than I did humans, so I've always had that kind of connection to them.
Right, and that connection's obviously led to you working on your most recent project over in Lombok. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing over there at the moment?
I employ shark fishermen here in tourism to try and get them into a different form of income and utilize the same boats they use fishing in tourism. So trying to transition them away from fishing.
Great. Okay. So what would you recommend as an alternative to baited drum lines and nets and basically the shark safety programs that Queensland and New South Wales have in place?
Yeah, so the first thing that people seem to think, especially with people like myself, is that we oppose these systems because we love sharks. Mm-hmm. It's not just that. My opposition of these systems, like many other people's, is the fact that it is actually ineffective to protect human life. That is the biggest thing that is the issue with everything that's happening, is it's not actually saving anyone. It's giving us a false sense of security. And you really do see that when you watch the documentary. Now, fortunately, there are many effective alternatives. Some of them are mentioned in the show. There's a thing called kelp barriers, which is a really amazing and more effective way to protect people. There's shark spotting, there's drones, there's things that have been implemented in other countries that have worked that we have not tried in Australia, and we need to start trying. And the most exciting thing about those alternatives is that they're more effective, not just in saving marine life, but also human life.
So one of the groundbreaking developments that actually came during the filming process was that you all uncovered the New South Wales and Queensland government's efforts to hide the facts about the program. You found that they had actually continued to cull endangered species in the Great Barrier Reef, which is, you know, a protected marine park. Could you tell us how it felt uncovering this? I mean, especially yourself, you grew up on the reef, you grew up diving there.
It's absolutely shocking when you start looking into these things. And the reaction so far of anybody that watches the film is they're not going to understand just how crazy it is what our government gets away with until they really see something like this. It is shocking to see what's happening in places like our very own marine park. The pull that Australia has in regards to tourism when we talk about our marine ecosystems is immense. So to think that our own government is kind of turning their back on that is quite crazy. The other thing I think that was really baffling to everybody is the fact that we had not only offered but also proved that they were being ineffective at protecting human life, and it seemed to have no effect whatsoever on the government's decision to continue the program. So a lot of that has been quite shocking. I think the most insane thing for me in this process was the Freedom of Information Act that we used to get footage that had been captured during the program, and that really exposed a lot of what was going on behind closed doors.
Right, because the government actually issued a gag order on the filming process, didn't they? How did you guys combat that?
There is now rules about how close you can get to the nets and the drum lines, and those rules have been introduced for certain reasons, they claim, but the true reason is they don't want us getting close to filming stuff. There is some really horrific images in the film that are a product of us being able to get close to things. So luckily, there was a lot of stuff that was shot before the film even came into existence. So there's a lot of stock footage in there over the years of activists that have collected things of animals getting stuck in the nets and the drum lines. So it's kind of sad to think how much harder it is for us to do that now, but hopefully there's enough kind of graphic images in there and that'll be enough for people to really realise what's happening.
So what does this mean for our oceans? Could you give us some insight to the extent of the government's actions and their consequences?
We know that sharks are important for many different reasons. We don't know the exact effect removing them from certain ecosystems is going to have until it's too late, unfortunately, but we know it does have an effect. I think the biggest issue with this kind of program, with everything that's happening, is the mentality that we're installing in the general public, which is that safety is the responsibility of the government, so it's really the responsibility of the individual that gets in the water. And we're actually preventing people from being safe, which is a huge issue because we're allowing them this false sense of security and safety. So that for me personally is like the most shocking thing about what's going on. And the catch data of this program does show a significant decline in numbers of sharks and other marine species that are being caught, which is a really bad sign. And we're super lucky to live in Australia and to be surrounded by incredible wildlife. And we seem to be turning our back on that quite a lot. So hopefully we do something before it is too late.
The filming process all started back in 2014, and this is the passion project of director Andre Borel. He certainly assembled a great crew of people who share in that passion like yourself. You've been given the moniker of Shark Girl. You were named the Australian Geographic Society Young Conservationist of the Year in 2017. How was it working with like-minded people on this creative endeavour, and what are your hopes for the audiences to take away from the film?
It's been absolutely incredible. Andre was very new to conservation, which is great because he saw this with a perspective that wasn't kind of already jarred like the rest of us, which is so amazing. That's why the film's so relatable for people coming at it with fresh eyes. And it's just really, really interesting watching him go through the process of learning all this information, being shocked, and then being super passionate about putting it in a film, which is amazing. My hope for the audience is that this does not preach to the converted, but takes some minds that are perhaps undecided or completely unaware and really change those minds. That's my biggest hope. And I know the film has the power to do that. So I'd encourage people that do not believe in the film to see the film because it's the most important for them.
You're also careful not to set false standards, though. I noticed a recent post of yours on Instagram, which warned of the propensity for people to give advice that really only relates to sharks within controlled settings. You do highlight that sharks can indeed be quite dangerous and we need to remember our place.
Yeah, absolutely. As a conservationist, I think I get lumped into a group of people that wants to kind of create a false sense of security around sharks in order to protect them. Not only do I not want to do that, but I don't think it's necessary. We live in a dangerous country. We enter the water every day and surf and play where dangerous sharks are hunting. And I do not believe that turning a blind eye to that is a solution. It's another reason that I hate the shark control program, because it doesn't allow people effective measures to protect themselves in the water. So I've always been a huge advocate of the education that is required to be a little bit safer in the ocean, of really learning what the dangers are from sharks and what can increase those dangers. And that's been a huge part of what I do, is not only respecting sharks, but the people that share the water with them and finding a way that we can coexist. And at the end of the day, I love sharks because they're dangerous. I love them because they're different. I love them because they instill that fear in people. They are an unreal animal. We are so lucky to have dinosaurs still on this planet in the form of sharks. And it is my biggest hope that the rest of Australia can kind of jump on board with that and learn to respect them.
I always find it fascinating that when people talk about coming across sharks in the water, they always mention that they have this amazing presence. You know, you almost feel them before you see them. Look, lastly, I can't let you go without asking, as someone who, as you've mentioned, you grew up on the Great Barrier Reef. UNESCO, which is the UN's educational, scientific and cultural body, recently decided to go ahead with the decision to place the Great Barrier Reef on the in danger list. Now, they cited science-based reports as well as official government reports on the reef's water quality, but the federal government has, of course, hit back at this decision, and they say they were blindsided by the move, even though there had been a number of warnings in the lead-up to this decision.
Yep.
What's your take on this as someone who's grown up on the reef, and you know, no doubt I'm sure you've been able to see the many quite visceral changes to it over time?
To be completely honest with you, I was at a meeting that involved Malcolm Turnbull back when he was in power, and I was in the presence of people that were involved in not wanting that listing to occur, and their reason was it would affect tourism,
right?
Which is crazy. I think that the Great Barrier Reef is absolutely in danger and it needs to be addressed. But unfortunately, it's also a huge moneymaker. It's also tourism here. So there are two sides of Australia. There's the side that wants to save it and the side that wants to ignore it. So I think it is really time that we start addressing it. I am very young still, and I have witnessed a drastic change in the Great Barrier Reef in my lifetime. And we know it goes through these stages of getting destroyed and building back, but it's struggling to build back this time, and we really do need to start paying attention to it. Otherwise, future generations are not going to get to see what I was lucky enough to see.
Madison Stewart, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily.
Thank you.
That was Madison Stewart joining us from Lombok in Indonesia, talking about the documentary film Envoy Shark Cull, which she appears in. The film is set for release on July 21st. The premiere on the 21st will have a live Zoom Q&A afterwards. Patrons can also see the film in participating cinemas on the 24th and the 25th. All info can be found at watch.envoyfilm.com.au. And I highly recommend having a look at Madison's Instagram if you're not already following her. Shark Girl Madison is her Instagram moniker and handle. Chuck it a follow if you're keen to get a bit of a different perspective on not just sharks, but marine life overall.